Faith Science Podcast. My name is Tyler Bublitz, and welcome back to the fourth Sunday of Easter, or Good Shepherd Sunday, or since Earth Day is the next day, I'm going to say Earth Day Sunday for the week of April 21st, 2024, and I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to dig into this week's podcast, and I'm excited because I have a feeling I'm going to approach this podcast a little bit differently than a lot of other podcasts that I've approached because of having Earth Day so close, because of having Good Shepherd Sunday. I think there's some really unique potential tie-ins here that I think can kind of help bring some of these different readings to light and maybe had us to look at and read these texts just a little bit differently. And I think especially within the world climate and the way that the world is at this current moment, I think there is moments that we need reminders of how we are all connected, reminders of how our world is one planet and it's one thing. And I think sometimes it's really easy for us to forget that, overlook that. And so I think we're going to get into that a little bit this week. But before we do that, let's look back at the question that we had for last week, which was, where are you continuing to find support and trust in God? Got a great response here from one of our loyal listeners talking about how there's times where they don't even know what to ask and they just kind of lay it out to God. I don't even know what to say. Here's what I'm dealing with, and gives it to God. And it may take a while, but suddenly something will come up. And I think that's a really good explanation of some things that are going on in my life. I won't entirely dig into, but there's some fairly major change, and I think some people probably know what that is. Some fairly big changes that are going on within my life. And I'm not 100% sure of where this is all leading. I just know that this is the steps that I'm needing to take. And it's times it's really scary. It's times it's really exciting for potential what could happen, but there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's part of where faith kind of steps in at times, is that we just have to trust even when it's uncomfortable. We have to be able to take those leaps of faith. We have to be able to go into these waters that seem scary. I know one of the things that I've definitely, with working with youth, I've stated multiple times is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think as we get older, especially, it's really easy for us to fall into what is comfortable and stay there. And I sometimes really question and wonder, is that really what God is calling us into? I think there's a lot of times that we are called to do greater things, which might mean being uncomfortable. And I think when we look at, I would say, a lot of things within society, I would say the church in general, I think there's a lot of places where we could learn to be uncomfortable, and that's okay. I know when we're looking at like the environment, there's plenty of times where the environment gets uncomfortable, but sometimes it's for the betterment, and sometimes it's our own fault that makes it hard, and we'll kind of get into some of that. But I think it's something for us to keep thinking about and considering, is there is an aspect of trusting God to go further than what we necessarily think. I know one simple way that it's been like that for me is I've been doing some running and getting back into running, and I'm starting to get back to distances that I have not run since I was in high school. And high school was a while ago, we'll put it that way. And I realize it's not necessarily that my body can't do it. It's a lot of my mental game and telling myself and getting over mental obstacles that, no, you can run that. You can do that. You're doing this at a slow enough pace. Your body's able to keep up with you. You mentally have to be able to keep up with you. And I think that's really summarizes faith a lot, is I think there's a lot of times where we get in our own way. And I think there's times where God is probably calling us to these greater and grander things. It's just that we get in our own way. But let's just jump into it for this week here. The first reading is out of Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. And this is, again, now we're getting that transition. So now we're starting to get where the disciples are being a little bit more empowered, specifically Peter here. And that Peter is kind of challenging a few things that has been going on the established way. And so now he's starting to get some of the rulers, the elders, the scribes, and they're questioning some of the different healings, some of the different things that Peter in particular and the disciples are doing. And Peter then responds with, "This is all coming out of not you questioning the things that I'm doing, these good deeds of healing the sick and being with people, but I'm telling you, this is all coming out of Jesus' death and resurrection. Even though that you were rejected him, he has become the chief cornerstone for our faith. And in that, we have the salvation that comes because of what Christ did for us, because of what Christ did and rose again. This is set forward a new connection that we have with God and a new way for us to interact with God." The psalm that goes with that, because it's Good Shepherd Sunday, what else do you expect? The 23rd Psalm, arguably the most recognizable psalm. And especially when we look at these first three verses, we get this very familiar calm, the Lord being with us and guiding us and is right there. And then we get this transition starting in verse 4, that even though I walk through my darkest valleys, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, as we've talked about before, like a prophet. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This moment here where we're getting of, yes, Jesus alongside of us, but also Jesus also challenging us as we are going through those difficult seasons and continuing to push us forward. And I think that's a key aspect to this. The second reading, or the epistle text, is out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. This text gets into the idea here of how what Christ did for us in this showing of love is transferable to us, that we are not supposed to just be of word or speech, but of truth and action, that we are people who are taking what God has done for us, this love, and it is calling us to do greater things, and that it is not to condemn what we have done, but it's for this boldness of the love that God has given us that we then go out and we do these things, and that we share this love with one another, and making sure that that's what is conveyed and shared and shown as the Spirit is leading us. The gospel text for this Good Shepherd or Fourth Sunday of Easter is out of John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. This is familiar territory here. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, it gets into, is afraid and scatters and runs away when the wolf is coming, but that is not what the shepherd does. The shepherd is there to protect. And then we get this transition, and I think this is an important part here as we start getting into verse 15. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, my Father loves me, and I lay down my life in order to take them up again. But again, this idea of how we are all together. But I think also this recognition of recognizing the voice, I think we're going to get into a little bit more this week and how important that is. But this recognition of how Christ laid down the power that was given to Christ in order that we might live. And this recognition then in that as well, that that was for us to have better relationship with God. And I think that's also a second key part that I'm going to get into a little bit. But before we jump into how faith and science come together, we have to do our shameless plugs. Four, Working Preacher. If you enjoy a Working Preacher, I'd highly recommend it between the Sermon Brainwaves podcasts or commentaries or discussions. Since I'm not an ordained minister, I use them on a weekly basis to help me with some ideas, perspectives, and just great commentary in multiple different ways over there. If you haven't checked out workingpreacher.org, I'd highly recommend it. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library. I really enjoy how they lay out the text week to week, but along with having art, prayers, hymns, colors, daily devotions, it's a great resource to be able to look at, keep in tune, and continue to stay in the Word, but also prepare. Remember, part of this podcast is to help all of us prepare for worship each and every Sunday and each and every week. So if you haven't checked out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library, I'd highly recommend that. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publication. These are either weekly or monthly reflection newsletters that go through a wide variety of ecological echoes, implications, and urgencies that bring in different topics on a week-to-week basis, similar to this podcast, but in a written form, or bringing in some different things that are going on around the specifically the upper Midwest of the United States. But it might actually be really interesting to see what all things are going on. And there's some just great ecological ideas and echoes in there. I really enjoy looking at it month to month, week to week. So if you haven't checked out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publications, I'd highly recommend that. Finally, I'd also highly recommend checking out the Gus Davis Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics. It's a great opportunity for high school students to dive into these topics. And this year's topic is How and Why We Sleep, Reflections in Rest. I have it confirmed. I will be there this year, and I'm really excited to be part of it. It was one of my highlights from last year. It's a great program. And if you're a high school student and would really like to go to it, I'd recommend signing up by the end of April because I have a $50 off coupon, which is EXTRZA24, and you'll get $50 off your registration fee. I'll have that down in the show notes. I'd highly recommend checking that out. And heck, maybe I'll get the opportunity to meet you. I'm looking forward to that at Gustavus Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota this summer. I think the two things like we kind of brought up here, specifically in the gospel text of John, is the recognition of hearing the voice of God, the sheep knowing the voice of the shepherd. No matter which fold they are in, that they will know the voice of the shepherd. And two, that the shepherd laid down the power and laid down one's life for the sheep, but it's also the aspect of laying down one's power in order that it be the benefit of the sheep. And I think when we're thinking about that, especially with thinking about Earth Day being the next day after worship, I think there's some great tie-ins here. And so let's dive into this. But I think we first need a little bit of understanding of what is Earth Day. Earth Day was founded in 1970. So we are approaching the 54th Earth Day. And one of the things that I think is kind of a neat fact is the modern day Earth Day was kind of came out of a Wisconsin senator, Gaylord Nelson, which actually came out of a very similar location to where I grew up. So there's kind of a soft spot for that. But we have to remember that Earth Day kind of started in 1970, and we have to think a little bit about what was going on in the world. We had Rachel Carson's Silent Spring in the early 60s. We had NASA going to the moon and getting the blue marble shot. We have some coming up soon after this. If you think about it, we have the gas shortage of the 1970s here in the United States. There's just a lot of different ecological crises, and you have kind of the hippie uprising around this period of time as well. So there's a lot of thought going into ecological resources and what is going on with the planet at this point. We have the unofficial Earth Day flag of the blue marble on a blue background. And I think it does kind of exemplify Earth Day in a great way. And Earth Day is this idea and recognition of protecting the planet and thinking about it from a broad perspective. It's not just country by country. It's that we're all in this together. And I think that starts to fit well here as we start on thinking about we are part of one fold, even though we are from many different parts of the fold, many different countries. But let's go even a little bit deeper. One of the things that I really enjoyed studying and looking at and how I was kind of trained as a biologist early on was more as an ecologist. Now, ecology is a branch of biology, but it's looking at the relationships that organisms have with one another and their physical surroundings. Thinking of like ecosystems, but how do they all interact? And I think that's an important thing for us as humans to really be thinking about and contemplating, especially in the world that we're going into. We have to be able to understand how things interact and how do we interact within that ecosystem as well. I think that's something that we often like to overlook. We like to look at an ecosystem as something separate and apart from us, and we forget to bring ourselves into the ecosystem and what effects that might be having. I think a perfect example of this, and it's something we've brought up, and it's one of the go-to ecology studies, is looking at Yellowstone in and of itself. When we had in the 20s and 30s, and you wipe out wolves out of Yellowstone, and you have Aldo Leopold's like thinking like a mountain and looking at like what happened in Yellowstone, where you had elk populations growing really high, high erosion, rivers starting to have issues where it's eroding away. There just isn't a healthy ecosystem. There is no aspen groves in Yellowstone. Why? Because the elk come through and keep eating them away. There's no natural predators. It's made it harder for the elk to even feel like there's anything to do. What happened in the mid-1990s? We reintroduce wolves into the ecosystem. When we do that, what happens? We get the elk moving, and suddenly we are starting to see rivers restored. We're suddenly seeing elk moving. Just the whole ecosystem there in Yellowstone becomes healthier. And I know for me, as I went out there with my wife for our honeymoon in 2020, it was much different than what I had seen it when I was there in the early 2000s as a kid. How when you had gotten more established packs and more pack dynamics, how elk were still very present, but they weren't overly abundant like they were when I was a kid. And remembering back to that, there was just a different feel to Yellowstone in a good way, a healthy way. And I think this helps us reiterate this other point. And again, like I said, I feel like this is a little bit different way of approaching this text from a scientific perspective. But hear me out. One of the other things that I have really enjoyed doing, and it's been a little while since I've done this, but I like going out with really good birders and listening for birds. And the thing is if you are out with really good birders who really know their stuff, it is a transformative experience. And here's how. There's one birder in particular, he knows exactly who he is, I have gone out multiple times with, getting up before the crack of dawn to get out there to sometimes big areas where we have rolling miles of undisturbed forest, to times where we have a small block, really, it's not even that big of an area, and we're really not even that far off the road. But when you walk into these ecosystems, you are transformed. You're transformed because you're suddenly listening for different things. We know as humans and what life is and what life is all about suddenly slowly fades away as we enter into this ecosystem. And as we enter into the ecosystem, we start hearing things and we start jotting down the habitat and what birds are we hearing. This is all stuff that, like breeding bird surveys for many states, this is all what it's about. Listening for what the different birds are, what are the different habitats, what's all there. But the really transformative piece is when you have somebody who, like I said, really, really knows their stuff and has been doing it for an extended period of time, they start noticing the things that are missing as well. The voices that should be there that aren't. Or the voices that it's surprising that they're there. Why are they here? Or you get the bird that it's maybe not surprising that it's there, but it takes you a while to figure it out and you have to hunt it down. What are you? Who are you? And as I read through and thought about this text, it brought me back to some of these moments when I'm sitting there in the forest and it's like, oh, who are you? Welcome back. As we move into spring and you get the migration and some are just quick day trips as they continue north. Some are going to stay here for a little while. But that recognition of walking into that place and recognizing the voice of these different species and knowing who they are. And I distinctly remember back, this is getting to be probably 7-8 years ago, I was out on one of these morning excursions with this birder friend of mine, and it was June. And I remember it was one of those days where we were out there and doing our point count surveys, 10-minute surveys, and then you walk away and do it again. And I finally turned to him at some point and I said, what is going on? It's too quiet. The habitat's good here. It's too quiet. And that's when he turned to me and started saying, yeah, I can tell you there's four or five different species over the last 10 years that I feel like I've been hearing less and less. They should be here, and they're not, and we don't know what's going on. I think when we are looking at Good Shepherd Sunday here, and God calling us to not only hear God's voice, but I think it's that recognition of we need to remember them all the different things that God has told us to do. And I think when we are going and doing the things that God is calling us to do, that's also when we start hearing more instructions on what God is calling us to do and what God is wanting us to do. And what I'm getting at here is I wholeheartedly, as you've probably picked up over years of listening to this podcast, I am an environmentalist through and through. And there's plenty of ways that I can improve. But I would also argue that one of the first things that God tells us to do is take care of this place. And the more and more that we isolate ourselves and see ourselves as separate from the ecosystem, the ecology of what is going on, the more and more it gets harder for us to actually hear the voice of God and what God is saying for us to do. If we are going to be part of that flock and be able to hear when the shepherd is calling for us to come, hear when there is danger so that the shepherd doesn't have to go in and constantly be saving us, we sometimes need to go where the shepherd is. And if the shepherd has told us to take care of this place, then I would argue this is part of the actions that we need to be doing as said in 1 John. And in that, we might be able to have remarkable healings like we hear about in Acts. But in order for us to do that, we need to be able to spend enough time in those ecosystems and in those places to actually understand who is sick, what is sick, who is missing, what is going on. Where is there places that need major restoration? Where are places that just need minor restoration? Where are places that just need to be left alone? Where are places that we go and we just hear because they're in good communication? There is good harmony there, to put it in that way. And where are places that we need to go and spend time and work? Where do we need to burn and bring it all the way down to the soil to reintroduce nutrients to bring back? And where do we need to do smaller things? This is all recognizing these ecosystems and places that we're in. It's recognizing the broader context of the world in which we're in and being able to separate ourselves from just humankind. Recognize that we are part of something much greater than just humankind. God created multiple days worth and we were one day. There is other days for us to explore. Sheep of the flock, we need to be able to spend time and actually be able to eat of the meadows, but recognize the beauty of the meadows and the calm streams when they're there. And recognize that in those times, in those places, that there are times that that's when God starts speaking to us and us being able to recognize and do. Be part of the action. There is plenty of scary scientific information, and I'm not even going to really rehearse any this week, because I don't think it would take very long for many of us to find a lot of scary information about our planet. And I think this is where we need to start recognizing that the planet could also be part of this fold. That maybe it's not just talking about sheep as in people and people groups. And granted, there's probably plenty of those. But what about if God is also talking about God's creation as well? I think that's something that we need to be contemplating and spending time and recognizing those places that we go and recognize the hurt, recognize things that are missing, recognize where God is wanting us to do work. Quick sidebar. A little over a week ago, I was at EcoFaith Conference, and I talked about that briefly last week. I heard a 12-year-old girl speak, talking about the planet, the pain that she sees, the hurt that she has, the way that she is seeing a good friend stripped away. And on top of it, a way that she connects with God disappearing. And it hurt, because I remember not being much, a little older than she was, but not much older, and feeling not quite the same way, but having some of these similar feelings. And I look back now, from where I'm at now, looking at that, and I question, am I doing enough? Are we doing enough, more importantly? Because it's not just one individual, it's all of us together. And I think that's where we get into that second part. Christ came and Christ gave up Christ's own power to die for our sake, to connect with us. And that's sometimes the hard thing with being a gardener, is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And vice versa. Just because you can ignore something doesn't mean you should ignore something. I think we need to really contemplate and think about, how do we be the stewards that God would want us to be? How do we treasure this place and really look at this place as a gift? How do we look at this opportunity as a way for God to continue to connect with us, continue to hear God's voice? I think it's something we wrestle with. Just like birds disappearing in an ecosystem that should have them, are we even spending enough time in those places to recognize where that's happening? Or are we just letting our power consume us that it doesn't matter? This is for our betterment, and nature will get over it. And I think when we think back to when we were children, that feeling of not being heard, that feeling of not being seen, that feeling of, well, just get over it, never felt good. Why do we feel like that's okay for us to treat something that has a harder time responding? Or why do we feel like it's okay to keep throwing that to the next generation? Sheep of the flock. I think as we are entering this Earth Day season, this 54th Earth Day, I think we need to really think about that. I think we really need to think about connecting with the rest of God's creation to hear God's voice, and what do we do to help in this? Because I think that's where we're going to start seeing God's voice in a different way, in a new way. So the question I have for you this week is, where do you hear God's voice that doesn't come from human construction or humans in general? Where do you hear God's voice that doesn't come from human construction or humans in general? Because I think if we can't answer that question, we're in dire straits. And if we can answer that question, then what are we doing to make sure that those places are still there for future generations so that they are able to still hear those voices in a similar way? Not the same way, but similar ways. Unless we really do this, we're just going to keep losing ways to hear God's voice. And I don't know about you, I don't really like that prospect. I want to get to know God better. I want to keep hanging out with God. I enjoy spending time with God. And why would I want to strip that away? Why would I strip away the things that God created? Why would I strip away the beauty? For my own comfort? Comfort without God is what? Torture? Sheep of the flock, we really need to be thinking about that, especially in this Earth Day, because we do not have a lot of time left. And like I stated, I'm not going to get into the scientific numbers with that this week. I want to go broad. I want us to think broadly this week. We've talked about how sheep recognize their shepherd, and I've talked about that in years past, and you can go back and listen to those. I think we really need to be thinking about the flock that's out there that maybe doesn't speak in a language that we understand initially. It's a silent, quiet language that we have to spend a lot of time with, and boy, does that sound like God. And those small, distant voices, the places where we need to spend a lot of time and dwell to understand. The more we go into those ecosystems to understand how they work as individuals and as small groups, we understand and grow in our understanding of who God is. And I don't often challenge you, but especially this Earth Week, I challenge you. Go and spend some time out there. Find some place and spend time. Listen for those voices. Do you recognize those voices? And if you have spent enough time out there to know whose voices should be there, whose voices are not there. And it might not be of human origin. Because I know in my life, some of the moments that I hold dearest to myself and our core principles of me were not always spoken by people. They were visual moments. They were auditory moments of things beyond the human range of life. Things that were outside the human experience. And heck, I've built a podcast based a lot on many of these experiences. And even though there's moments that I am scared about where the world is going and what is all going on, it's in those moments, it's in those places, it's in those silence where there should be other things that God still meets me there. Says, come home. Come home, be with the flock. We have things to still do, and I got assignments for you to work on. We'll make this better. So, we'll wrap this up as we always do. I pray God blesses you through your faith and amazes you through science. Spend some time outside this week.